It is time for another edition of What's Going On Out There, Ruth, with Ruth Epstein of the Republican American. Well, Ruth, my favorite question, what's going on out there?
Well, we had some unfortunate excitement in Cornwall Saturday night with a bear attack, a mule was mauled to death at the home of Brad Hedden in Cornwall, and Hedden shot the bear on the property. According to DEEP, we got this report from the Department of Energy and Environmental Protection. The bear was shot as it was entering the paddock where a miniature donkey and a horse had lived, and it was thought that the bear did kill another donkey earlier that in the evenings in the same paddock. So, environmental police, conservation police are investigating. I'm sure we'll hear more about this. But
was the horse in the paddock, or no word on the horse?
No. Okay. The other miniature donkey and the horse lived.
There
were two donkeys, okay. And one was killed.
This sounds familiar. I mean, a long time ago there was something.
Well, we had one here in Kent back in 2017 at the home of Megan Ted Hoffman. Another miniature donkey was killed, and they tried to trap it, were unsuccessful, and then a few days later the caretaker shot it. And
I'm not losing my mind, and meaning that the two bears, two miniature donkeys, and what was the disposition of the 2017 incident?
I don't remember that. I don't think there were any. I think in that case he was exonerated because of the circumstances. He's protecting the animals.
Well, yeah. You may have mentioned, what time of day did this happen?
I think it was Saturday evening.
Evening,
so
okay.
I'm guessing dark.
Mama bear or papa bear? Nobody know yet.
Because
it's a, I grapple with this all the time because bears, they get a bad rep sometimes, but usually these animals don't do something unless something has provoked them.
And I've been hearing, that it was strange that, they don't often go after, humans or other animals.
Mike is absolutely correct with the bad rap thing, because I'll never forget somebody who was up here, not even a weekend, you're just let's say totally non-country folk, to be kind, and their perception of nature was totally skewed, and that's as diplomatic as I can be first thing Tuesday morning.
Well, the case of, and I did speak to First Selectman Gordon Ridgway, the idea of bear hunting, has been brought up many, many times now, especially with, after there was an incident in Morris where a little boy was mauled. So I spoke to Ridgway last night, and he said, this is a real problem. He likes bears, he said, but it's out of control. Connecticut is the only state in New England that doesn't allow or have a bear season, and he thinks maybe it's time to discuss it.
Because I know that a lot of, way back when, and I don't know if this still happens, but a lot of people brought their problem bears up here. The bears that kept hanging out at houses, and they were kind of dumped around here. Why don't we have them bring them to a place that does have a bear hunting season?
Well, I know sometimes it's just like deer hunting, that people sometimes misunderstand that too. But then the herd sometimes, because the population gets so large, and the food items are running out, and so
they do have to cull them. And that was Gordon's reasoning. They did address deer finally, and this whole thing is.
I think the answer is having that season. Whether people really like that or not, and just making sure everybody's aware of things they may have on their property that would attract them. Because here, God knows, normally they just don't attack unless they're provoked.
Yes.
And they wander around. And again, if you are, I say, kindly dropping off animals here, but another word is dumping, you know, that's kind of like a hunting party. That's not okay. It's like, in other words, you don't, it's like a preserve. I don't, anyway.
Well, you know, in the past, years ago, every bear was brought to Litchfield County when they were found elsewhere.
That's what I'm saying.
Put them here. You know, it's rural, and they'll be able to roam. But it's what I'm talking about.
And then sooner or later, it's like, well,
it catches up with you.
Can you do it, Springfield? Sorry.
There are also people who still feed them.
That's one of the things that really needs to be pumped into people's heads. Stop feeding. Stop with the bird feeders. It's, you know, they're, again, it's an attraction thing.
Exactly.
And once they've gotten their jaws onto some good food, they're going to come back.
Right.
You know, you got to remember that these animals have functioning brains, although some people
say,
think we're the only animal
that's smart. I remember MO-13 and Katie Gannett. And, you know, he'd be back because she wouldn't stop feeding the birds, and, you know, she and Michael fought about it all the time. But, you know, down he'd come. He was tagged. That's why his name was MO-13, and which, what, Mohawks, whatever. And, you know, he had his route that was basically over Music Mountain and down into West Cornwall and then back. It took him 3 or 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Music Mountain, speaking of, when they had concerts in pretty full dumpsters, there was a family that used to get a week's worth of food before the dumpster guy came, and, you know, but the point is, they did not eat Marla Hines' cats, they did not eat the dogs, but if you're going to have food available, then you can't expect people, or animals, sorry, you can't expect creatures who live there to not feed themselves. That's their nature, that's what they're supposed to do.
I'm going to be interested to see the outcome of what DEEP says. I got the right number of E's in there.
Mm-hmm.
What they say, it's so hopefully we'll keep up on this and see if somebody decides to take some kind of an action that will help with this situation. I can just see more coming as we move towards winter time.
Yep. Well, that's it. They're out there, as Deep said, preparing for winter, so
right.
You know, there's increased activity of the bears.
Yep.
So, yeah, well, certainly a story we'll be following. It's unfortunate. They were their pets, and obviously, you know, it's a sad time. We have more controversy with planning and zoning and things of that nature in Salisbury. There is a plan for a intensified resort at Wake Robin. As you know, that's been an inn since the beginning of the 20th century. It was at one time a girls' school, and then it was converted into an inn. It's been low-keyed. You know, it's off Route 41. But now this company called Aradev is proposing to make it a 71-room hotel.
Aradev, how do you spell?
A-R-A-D-E-V, I believe.
Aradev. Something development.
Mm.
Okay.
Aradev LLC, I think.
It's got to be. I mean, E-E-V, okay.
They're going to put 12, I believe, cabins and cottages are scattered around the property. There's going to be a pool, a spa, and an event place, an event barn, that will hold, where they'll hold, you know, social functions, and that building will hold between 150 and 175 people. Needless to say, the residents there have been two public hearings, two sessions of a public hearing so far. The property, as you know, extends from Route 41 Sharon Road and goes all the way through to the other side to Wells Hill. And that's the area they're going to put the pool and spa on property currently owned by Serena Granberry. This is all going to be one big parcel now. And so the hearing the other night had people obviously concerned about noise and traffic and speeding and water runoff and displacement of animals and
all the usuals.
And so there was it went on for this, as I say, it was the second session of it. It's going to continue on October 16th, the next session, and there probably will be an extension of because they you have to make a decision within a certain amount of time unless you get this extension. So this will be another interesting topic to follow.
Another one of those times where business tries to expand in our small towns and we get pushback on it. Sometimes the irony I see, editorial time here, is I listen to conservation and development plans, and more often than not you hear about being friendly to businesses and commerce here so we can have tourism and all. But every time, same thing going on in Amenia right now with Troutback.
Okay, so
it's one of those things where you can't win, you can't lose, but somehow down the line it takes years and years for these projects to get approved, sometimes in a completely scaled-down form where they make so, there's jobs, there's all kinds of things. Lime Rock Park, places where we can probably use these rooms, and,
Interesting thing, Mike, good editorial. Now I'm going to editorialize, and then we will move on to the next one. Look up Aerodev, LLC. And then, because that's also if the Aerodev that comes up is a foreign registered corporation, so it's worth looking at. I mean, this is absolutely something that's worth looking into to find out, who.
Well, that's what one of the persons asked about. Yeah, who are they?
Of course, there's a cell tower that's been approved for up there, which I have been wanting to see. I understand now they're saying that's supposed to be starting in November, but this project could make that fall back, and we happen to be the unserved people on the other side of Lincoln City.
No, they're talking about the cell tower and placing it, where things will be placed around it. They're well aware of that.
Yeah, we need that desperately because this whole half of town sits with very minimal, if not non-existent, service.
Right. Really, right in the center.
We're right up out of the center of Lakeville, and we still have to maintain the expense of a landline because I can't make a call on a cell phone from my house, and I can hardly get a text.
Because I'm still always going to bang on about the good people of Sharon, as the radio station in Sharon, who saved money by bundling all their lines, and then of course when it went down, it's like, well, the town hall was closed. Sorry. It is like no one could do any business, period. So
time will tell.
You should be compensated for the expense of maintaining a landline, but that was one of those wonderful, and I'm just going to invoke our fearless leader here, Mr. Miles, who was very, very clear all the way around. Always have, you always have alternate means of communication. That being said, two things in this editorial I think are interesting. Who's Aerodev, and what happens with the cell tower?
Yeah, no, the cell tower they realize that's going in, and they've talked about it, how it will be in the center, in the center of the resort, I guess. So, as I say, we'll be following that. There are already talks of lawyers being hired to fight this.
This will drag on for a couple of years, just like the ice cream stand down in the middle of Lakeville did.
And all the other affordable housing
issues. Yeah. Want affordable housing, want more business, but I'll be damned where we're going to put it.
Wake Robin. Sorry.
Okay. We did a story this week on speeding because I'm hearing it at every selectman's meeting I go to. Everybody has been approached about the problems, and we all see it. Any of us who drive on these roads, I can't tell you how many times I'm passed on a yellow line or I'm tailgated. So I did a roundup, and it's interesting. As you know, Sharon put in speed humps along Hilltop Road. Casey Flanagan, the first selectman, said he hasn't heard any complaints since that happened. So it served its purpose, as he said. The Kent selectmen are thinking about cameras. They're talking about having a town meeting to hold to pass an ordinance that would allow cameras. These would be, you know, they show the speed limit and allow for online ticketing for those who violators. In Falls Village, Dave Barger, the first selectman, was very, I didn't say upset, but annoyed at the last meeting because he had written to DOT asking for a reduction in the speed limit along Route 7 and 126 and rebuffed on that.
How do you put in a speed bump? That seems like, you know, a lot of people who are totally, I can't think of a polite word, so Mike's going to have to cover for me, who speed through these places, like, are the environmentally, like, dense zombies, the deeply asleep, because you should be able to see that it's probably not a place to do that, are more likely to stop if they hit a speed bump than if they get an online ticket, which they may or may not pay.
Well, Kitty Kiefer, the selectman in Salisbury, has been very vocal about this, and she said, you know, enforcement, she thinks enforcement is the key.
She
pointed to, you know, South Egremont, where we all know that's a speed trap and you don't speed there. So.
Bingo. People from across the country know about that.
That's right.
One.
Egremont.
But, you know, now, is this primarily the highways, or is there talk about the town
both.
Roads?
And local roads as well, but they all talk about it. It's not just the Route 7s and the 44s.
Because you've got to go through the town to get to the highway, quote-unquote.
Yeah. But, no, it's on the back roads as well.
Yes, I mean.
And you know, people cutting through.
Sure.
I mean, obviously, Hilltop is a prime example of shortcuts, and that's what people are where they're speeding. And
we have that on Belgo, right behind where we live, where they come out of Mellerton to shortcut over to Lakeville. And
right.
I tell you, on there in a morning, beware, because these people come piling down through there to Route 44, and I swear some are doing 50, 60 miles an hour.
Right. That's exactly what they're talking about. And in Salisbury.
No, it's appalling, and that's why.
In Salisbury, there's also the issue they were talking about, the big trucks coming through and use something about Jake brakes. You know, there's muffler things, and they make a lot of noise, and they. Again, it's a topic that's going to be discussed in ways to try and alleviate. Again, that was brought up. You know, enforcement is important, but we have resident troopers in a couple of towns, but for the most part, we're patrolled by, the troop that's got
the honor system,
the dozens of towns to patrol, and they just can't sit there and nail speeders. So it's a problem, and we've had a couple of, you know, there were a couple of fatalities in some of these towns with people on the main streets. It's a problem. This past weekend was quite busy. We had the apparatus parade in Falls Village, just part of the fire department's 100th anniversary celebration. They had 31 trucks going along from Main Street down Warren Turnpike to the high school, where they all gathered, and there were food trucks and a band and lots of activities and trophies awarded, and then fireworks in the evening. The company will be doing a couple of more things before it ends its year-long celebration. They've been doing stuff every month, and they were very pleased with the way it came out. The Republicans had a meet the candidates at the Grove on Saturday in Lakeville, and the candidate for U.S. Senate, Matt Corey, was there, as was George Logan and Barbara Brior, who was running for the 64th seat. Steve Harding came after I left, so I didn't see him, but apparently he was there as well. And this is, you know, the political season is certainly heating up, and this was a pizza party, and candidates did speak and give a little of their insight.
Marvelous. We're going to have to
wrap up here very shortly, which will be next week, but it's very interesting because there's some interesting, when I say interesting, you know what's great? All of these actually have solutions. It's a question of how intelligent the solutions can be and if they can be found. So, Ruth, We so appreciate your going out there. This has been another edition of What's Going On Out There with Ruth Epstein.
I get one quickie. We have Habitat Party this weekend. We have the live swing dance, the Congregational Church this weekend in Salisbury, just so, and the Salisbury Forum Friday night at Salisbury School. Lots
still,
happening.
What's going on out there, Ruth? With Ruth Epstein from the Republican American on Robin Hood Radio.